guys, welcome to another episode of The Pursuit of Wellness. My name is Kabir Uppal, and each week I talk to wellness experts and enthusiasts to extract key information that we can use to get holistically healthy. This week, we're giving you a compilation of some of the best moments from our episodes this season. Make sure to listen to the full episodes wherever you catch your podcasts or on YouTube. The Pursuit of Wellness is a Mancha Media production. You can find out more on manchamedia.com. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube or any other podcast app you use. You can follow us on all our social media at Mancha Podcast or me at Kabir Uppal. Before we jump into the episode, I want to mention our sponsor, Tego. Tego is premium gear for the modern everyday athlete. They create products using emerging materials and textile technology that feel good when you are at your sweatiest best. And I have to say, Tego really knows what they're doing, guys. Right now, I'm wearing their Sweat Charge t-shirt, which is a really cool product. It's a performance shirt that reveals a message only when you sweat. Personally, I love it because it gives me that extra push I need in the gym to go harder. So whether it's a grueling workout or a long-ass flight, check out Tego. You can find out more at www.tego.fit/tpow. That's tego.fit/tpow. Let's jump right in, guys. The first clip is with nutritionist Avni Kaul. She talks about diabetes and its overall impact on your lifestyle. She also talks about eating habits and alcohol consumption.
A diet for a diabetic would be the same as like a regular person. Like a diabetic, I mean, I would still see them like not as, oh, you know, you're a diabetic and hence we need to kind of cut down on certain foods.
Does that also depend on the kind of type of diabetes there are?
Yes. Now, yeah. There is type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes is mainly a lifestyle related one. And type 1 is what you get at the time of birth.
Genetic,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's diagnosed at the time of your birth. And in that, the only way that you can manage your sugar is via insulin,
yeah.
Because there is no insulin being produced in the body, whereas in type 2 diabetes, it's mostly linked to having a higher BMI, physical inactivity, a very sedentary lifestyle. There could be a family history of diabetes. You could be like women could have gestational diabetes, that is diabetes during pregnancy. So the chances of them developing diabetes in future are a lot higher. Or if your waist circumference, your hip circumference are very high. So these are all risk factors for diabetes. Yeah. A lot of people think that diabetes is because of excessive intake of sugar. It is not because of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is also because whatever I was talking about, the visceral fat indicator, your lifestyle, are you working out regularly? Is it like a very sedentary routine? And, you know, it could be some medicine that you're taking.
Yeah.
So these are multiple risk factors. Mainly it's BMI, it's being overweight, you know, it's, gestational diabetes.
Yeah.
There could be a family history.
Again.
So there are so many reasons why you could develop diabetes. And as far as a diabetic is concerned, the rules would be the same, that they need to have alcohol in moderate amounts. Like I've heard these things being said that, oh, you know, you're a diabetic, you can't have banana, you can't have mango. Now the idea is you have to modify it. So if a person is really fond of bananas and I say, oh, you know what, you can't have bananas, that will not go down too well with the person.
Yeah.
You know? So what we can say is that, okay, what you do is with you, like the banana that you're having, combine it maybe with a milk product. Combine it with, let's say, a dahi or a yogurt. You can make a smoothie. You can make a banana shake. Or if you're really fond of mango, you can make a mango shake or a banana smoothie. That way, what happens is it helps you to regulate your blood sugar levels. You know, your sugar levels kind of don't go up and then come crashing down.
Yeah,
it kind of stays
at a stable level.
Yes, absolutely.
Great. I think that's great information for people that either are diabetic or, you know, have friends and family.
Yeah,
that
they just need to modify their diet. They don't need to specifically buy something like a special diabetes mithai or a diabetes namkeen or a diabetes atta or a diabetes rice. I know these are all there in the market. They don't need to purchase something differently or, you know, a different product per se because they're a diabetic. They can just modify the regular home-cooked meals.
Our next guest is Shubhajit Bhattacharjee, who's a fitness trainer. We talk about what it takes to go professional and become a fitness trainer from simply being an enthusiast.
So according to me, I would say the knowledge.
Yeah.
Number one is the knowledge, and number two, three, four will be they should ask questions of how, why, and what. These are the questions that they need to ask people who are trying to, you know, pursue these things. Because technically, I've been through the 3 months course and it's not easy. I mean, like when you go to a gym and when you talk to a trainer and you've talked to the members, the trainers are just like that. But when you go through the whole thing, the whole routine of the books that they give, the system of what happens and how the course is structured, that's very complicated. So I would say that knowledge is number one. How to proceed, how to do it, why to do it, and what to do is the main thing that would, you know, inspire an enthusiast to become a trainer. So again, I mean, like I would say, providing PT is good, but if you get into a career like this, you are not restricted to PT. You're not restricted to personal training. Yeah. So during our orientation, one of our faculty was taking the orientation. He said that this is a very big space. I mean, you get in small, but if you know what you're doing, and if you can continue in this field and gathering all the information and doing different type of courses, you can get out big.
Yeah.
And you should not restrict yourself in doing, say, oh, I joined a gym, I'm getting clients, I'm good. It's not like that. I mean, like, you have to move forward. Slowly, slowly, you have to make, eventually, the whole idea of this is eventually you can open your own gym.
Yeah.
And you can have members, you can have other trainers working for you, and you can elaborate everything, and you can make a living out of this big time.
In this next clip, we interview Sonakshi Dhamija, an Ashtanga yoga teacher, where she explained Ashtanga yoga basics. So check it out.
So Ashtanga can be different to different people. It's a flow of, it's a vinyasa flow. You do one series every day. It's called primary series until you graduate to the secondary series. The best thing I like about Ashtanga is that it's called the Mysore style because it was developed in Mysore.
Okay.
And there's no teacher sitting on your head and telling you what to do. So it's your own practice. It's a very personal practice. So it becomes very deep with time. And you can just decide what you can wake up and see how you're feeling and take it on that particular day according to that day. You can be really fast. You can be like really flowy and you can be really strong, or you can just decide to focus on breath that day. You'll be doing the same things, but the focus will be completely different.
Okay.
So it just gives you, the result will be different on that day.
So is the idea to just complete that primary series? So as you said, you might be feeling more energetic. You might focus on breathing. You might do it in a more...
The idea is you don't want to do the whole primary series in one go. At least if you're a beginner, because you might want to take a 2-hour nap after that. So it's especially recommended to do it with a teacher, because the teacher will guide you onto how to progress into it, how to start, what to do, how to build strength, how to build stamina, how to breathe in a certain way that won't tire you out by the end of it. So the whole idea is not to complete anything. The whole idea is to just feel really energetic post the class. You need to feel refreshed and really amazing, kind of like that glow kind of thing you need to feel from inside to start the day.
Yeah.
You shouldn't feel tired, ideally. Okay. You might be feeling tired because it depends on how healthy, active,
yeah,
what your lifestyle is, depending on all of that.
Okay. And why did, you pick Ashtanga over all the other styles that you kind of explored?
I just connected with it. It's just a personal thing. Yeah. I felt like I don't really do group classes, and this is the only style that allows you to do your own thing in a group class.
Okay.
So you enter a Mysore room and you see 10 people. They're practicing different stuff. They're practicing their own practice. So it's your personal practice in a group. So that's the best thing I like about it.
In the following clip, we talk to boxing coach Rajneesh Ravindran, where he talks about how boxing engages your mind, body and spirit, making it the ideal workout. Check it out.
So boxing for me, it engages your mind, first of all, how to apply these punches, how to, you know, perform these techniques, and, you know, it's a vast subject. I don't want to get into that because we'll be here all day then. So the body, of course, it's a physically challenging activity. It's not easy to box for, you know, half an hour or 40 yeah. minutes. It's very physically very taxing, and it's a great workout. And spirit, because it helps you push through. It helps you perform better in a way, because it's combat sports. You end up taking out your frustration on the bag or with the partner or with on mitts. So this you feel better. You feel rejuvenated, at least mentally. Mm-hmm. You'll feel tired
to a certain extent. Yeah. It relieves anxiety.
Yeah, exactly.
Stress,
it does, and it's very important in today's world, because everybody is stressed for no reason. And martial arts has always given me an outlet to, you know, express myself emotionally, not in the little terms of the word emotionally, but
yeah,
I channel the emotions in a different way. Whatever is happening to me, like if I'm feeling bad or sad or depressed, I end up training and I feel good. So it has worked for me. So I feel it might work for others as well, as long as your involvement is there. If you're as involved as I am, and if you put in the effort.
We chat with keto expert Neha Bedi in the following clip about her experience with food options in India that are keto friendly and how she plans for her nutrition.
Okay, so I've, with keto and with intermittent fasting for the last 3 years, I've become sort of a in-house nutrition expert myself. I've not done any, let me just put it out there, I've not done any sort of nutrition course or any dietary course that I need to, but I know what I'm putting into my body because it's getting me results. There are a lot of keto options available out there which are keto friendly, termed as keto friendly. You can go to big sort of supermarkets and they'll be there. They're not necessarily keto friendly, not necessarily means it's keto.
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to exceed a level of grams per day. You're not supposed to exceed a level of protein per day. So if it's just like it says it's a nutrition bar or let's say a protein bar, which is keto friendly, you have to read the nutritional information of anything that you purchase, and don't purchase anything that does not have like a nutritional information attached to it.
Yeah. Isn't it illegal to not have that? If you don't have that, are they allowed to actually put the product out?
There, I have seen a lot of places where there's no nutrition information.
Oh, wow.
It's just in a plastic sort of a
packaging.
A lot
yeah.
of these people who make their in-house stuff do not have nutritional information on it.
Yeah.
Like if you make
they
your
haven't
own,
put the effort
no.
into actually getting it.
So if
it
you
done.
Make your own pesto and if you make your own cheese, if you make your own hummus,
yeah.
you don't put nutritional information on it if it's
yeah.
in-house. But if it's but if somebody else is doing it, or and if you're stocking their stuff, you'll see per 100 grams the carbs, you'll see per 100 grams saturated fat, you'll see what fat there is.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, in terms of some things that you're seeing out there, are there some good ways for people to obviously, you know, reading up, but are there things that they should stay clear away from in terms of, you know, if you see this particular, you know, ingredient that this is definitely not keto friendly?
So I know a lot of people who think that honey is keto friendly. Honey is not keto friendly at all. Even if you make it, if you make brownies or whatever with honey and you say that you have used almond flour instead of the regular flour and you're making keto brownies, that's not keto, basically.
So what would be a substitute?
So erythritol or stevia, basically, you can use for making keto brownies.
That's a sweetener.
Again, that's what I'm saying. So people have a fair enough idea. I think the whole term keto is a bit sort of, it sounds nice.
It's become a marketing buzzword.
It's become a marketing buzzword. So everything that is labeled keto is not necessarily keto. You just use your brains.
Yeah.
So I can see through this stuff. I can see through the packaging. I can see through the contents. And if it's too frills and fancy, then it is definitely not keto.
And again, this has come from, you know, informing yourself and
yes.
making sure that you know.
Yes. So I went, one of my biggest, information, sources was this book by Dave Asprey called, The Bulletproof Diet.
Yeah.
And I think anybody who wants to be on the keto diet should be reading this book.
Fitness blogger Tanya Agarwal joins us in this next segment to talk about her favorite sources of fitness information, lifestyle advice, and her favorite blogs.
I've been constantly stalking the extraordinary multitasker, Mr. Seth Godin.
Yeah. I've read a couple of his books too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I stalk the man every day. You know, I wake up and I start writing. I sort of go through his page. So I think just as someone who's creating content for him, for that person, Seth Godin is the God. You know, I feel like there is just so much to learn as a content creator, as a content marketer from him, and his write-ups. They sort of motivate you.
Yeah,
they never leave you. They leave you thinking, but they never leave you demotivated. And that's what I want to be as a writer, to be always motivated despite the number of hits that have not happened.
Yeah.
Right. Number two, I'm very fond of this blog called doce.com. It's run by a lady called Heather. And she is, she's a mom. She has, two kids, and she basically writes about mental health, life in general, and fantastic blog, really fantastic blog, where you sort of get in touch with what's happening in life right now, you know, mental health space, work space, mom space, all of that. The other blog that I've been really following closely for the last, a year is, there's a blog called The Cup of Joe.
Okay.
Yeah. Run by Joanne, this lady. Again, she's US based, and her blogs are about lifestyle, not beauty per se, but lifestyle, again, motherhood, fitness, everything. So I've been following that particular blog for my sources of information. Other than that, I follow Mind Body Green. Great platform.
Absolutely.
I follow The Greatest. Again, yeah, greatest a great person. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing stories, yeah. Right? I mean, so much you can relate to, learn from again. And in the Indian context, I am following, Love in India. I like that blog. It's about, you know, relationships and love and everything. So I really like nice. Reading those, her blogs a lot. So yeah, I've been following these. I just recently read a book which has really made me feel really good about running and writing, and it's called How Bad Do You Want It by Matt Fitzgerald. Amazing book. No gyan, no straightforward inspiration, but just lots of stories about how your mental fitness has everything to do with your being.
All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. We hope you gained something that helps you on your wellness journey. We have some great episodes coming up in the future, and we also have some ones that we've already done that deep dive into different fitness and nutrition methods, like the one with Sunakshi Dhamija about yoga and her journey of becoming a teacher, or with Neha Bedi, who talks about everything you need to know about keto. Definitely look out for those. If you liked anything from this episode, please show us some love and subscribe or follow us. We'd love for you to be a part of this process. So write to us on our social media @MunchaPodcast. Thanks for listening, guys.